A'udhu billahi min shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Our dear listeners and the entire Muslim Ummah, in the continuation of the tafsir, the commentary of the Holy Quran, today being the 12th day of Ramadan, 1441 after the hijrah of our noble prophet Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which is equivalent to the 5th day of May 2020. We are still in the translation of the chapter, the Surah Al-Baqarah, by Sheikh Kidir Abdullahi Maraya and his reciter Malan San Musa Malami. Akramakullah, Bismillah.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وإذ قلنا للملائكة اسجدوا لآدم فسجدوا إلا إبليس أبى واستكبر وكان من الكافرين.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين آمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين وآله الطيبين الطاهرين وصحبه جميعا حق قدره ومقداره العظيم. Esteemed listeners, we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for sparing our lives to witness yet another day for the interpretation of the Holy Quran in the English language. I hope you still recollect that the Quranic commentary is being aired on the Barakat Family radio station under the auspices of its chief executive officer, Malam Ahmad Isa, the ordinary president, Malam Ahmad Isa, in memory of his late father, Malam Isa Muhammad. May the Almighty Allah continue to show mercy on the soul of Malam Isa Muhammad, the father of the sponsor of this program. Allah says, وَإِذْ قُلْنَا لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ اسْجُدُوا لِآدَمَ فَسَجَدُوا إِلَّا إِبْلِيسَ أَبَى وَاسْتَكْبَرَ وَكَانَ مِنَ الْكَافِرِينَ. Oh Ya Rasulallah, Oh the Messenger of Allah, إِذْ قُلْنَا لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ اسْجُدُوا. Remember when we said to the angels, اسْجُدُوا لِآدَمَ, bow to Adam as a sign of respect, because he has taught you the names of the things in their entirety. Consequently, he has now become your teacher. Therefore, bow to him with a view to showing respect to him. Fasajadu, they all prostrated themselves before Adam. The prostration here is not the normal prostration we conduct while establishing any of the 5 obligatory prayers or any supererogatory prayer. The prostration here, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala instructed the angels to do as a mark of respect for Adam, their teacher, is the prostration of greetings. The prostration of greetings is conducted by bowing to the person whom is being greeted. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks the angels to bow to Adam as a mark of respect. They all did that, with the exception of the Lucifer, Iblis. The name Iblis, as we mentioned earlier, appears 11 times in the Holy Quran. Iblis literally means someone who lives in despair. Fasajadu illa ibilisa aba. He refused to prostrate. Wastakbara, and he became very conceited. He became very pompous. He felt that he was greater than Adam. What a mistake he made. He wasn't even on the same pedestal with Adam, peace be upon him. Talk less of being more honorable than Adam, peace be upon him. Wastakbara wa kana min al-kafirin. Consequently, he became one of the disbelievers. This is the first interpretation of this portion of the verse. Another translation or another interpretation of this portion is that wa kana min al-kafirin. On the basis of the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Iblis was part and parcel of the disbelievers. Allah had decreed for him to be among the disbelievers. That was why eventually he decided to disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala after thousands of years in the service of Allah. Because he served Allah for thousands of years prior to the creation of Adam. Peace be upon him. He served Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as the head of the angels of the first heaven. The entire angels who occupied the first heaven before the creation of Adam, peace be upon him, were under the leadership of Iblis. At that material time, he was one of the intimate servants of Allah. In terms of service to Allah, Iblis circumambulated the supreme throne for 14,000 years. The way contemporarily we circumambulate the Holy Kaaba 7 times during the lesser pilgrimage or the main pilgrimage. In a year, someone performs the lesser pilgrimage once. Consequent upon that, they conduct the circumambulation of the Holy Kaaba once or twice, based on their whims and caprices. In the same vein, the Lucifer, Satan, circumambulated the supreme throne, Al-Arsh, for 14,000 years. For 14,000 years. Also, he served as the treasurer of the paradise for 40,000 years prior to the creation of Adam, peace be upon him. Because as we said during one of the sessions of our Quranic interpretation, the paradise and the hellfire had already been created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All the things one can think of have already been provided in them by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Iblis served as the treasurer of the paradise for 40,000 years. But eventually he disobeyed Allah. Hence he became one of the disbelievers. Not even one of the disbelievers, but the leader of all the disbelievers, the leader of all the transgressors, the leader of all the sinners, after he had served Allah in various capacities, but eventually he ended up in this status. Why? Because of Allah's decree. Allah had decreed for him to have the hellfire as his place of inhabitation. why did he refuse to bow to Adam as his sign of respect? He thought he was going to accord respect to Adam. That was why he even said that he was better than Adam, because Adam was created from fire, from the clay. Contrarily, he was created from the fire, from the light. Based on his thinking, he was better than Adam. Not knowing that prostrating before Adam was an act of obedience to the instructor of the prostration, Allah, not to Adam. Adam wasn't the one who instructed him to bow to him. The prostration was commanded to be conducted by the angels and the Lucifer as a sign of respect to Adam. Adam wasn't the one who instructed them to conduct the prostration. Therefore, prostrating before Adam was an act of obedience to Allah, not to Adam. So Satan did not discern that. He thought by prostrating before Adam, he had accorded respect to Adam, not to Allah. Hence he refused to bow to Adam. Consequently, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala caused him and drove him away from the paradise. What led him to such an act? The thing that led him to such an act was the dishonor he accorded whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had honored. Adam was created by Allah himself. By so doing, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accorded tremendous honor to him. But Lucifer, by refusing to bow to him, had dishonored him. That means Satan has dishonored whom Allah had honored. Because of what did he do that? Pomposity. In other words, arrogance. That is why the blemish of arrogance is unquantifiable. Look at the years he served in serving Allah. But due to arrogance, the arrogance he committed by refusing to bow to Adam as a sign of respect had led him to lose everything. Sheikh Ibrahim radiallahu ta'ala says that if you want to discern the blemish of arrogance, to understand how blemished arrogance is, juxtapose three Arabic words with their antonyms. One, ilmun. Ilmun is being cherished by all and sundry, that is knowledge. Even someone who is ignorant, who is illiterate, if you say to him, "Oh, the knowledgeable one," he will smile, indicating happiness that you have really accorded him with respect. Despite the fact that he knows, he is ignorant, he is illiterate. This symbolizes the fact that knowledge is loved by all and sundry. Now, consider its antonym, the antonym of the word ilmun, jahalu. It has always been disliked by all and sundry. Now, if you juxtapose the word ilmun with its antonym jahalun, you will notice that the one that is being loved, ilmun, has beneath its first consonant, the short vowel sound E. Its first vowel is positioned beneath its first consonant. This symbolizes humility, that I am humble. Then now, take a look at its antonym, Jahalun. Its first consonant, Jimun, has what on top of it? The short vowel sound, A. This symbolizes arrogance. Sheikh Ibrahim says, that is why the word Ilmun has been favored by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and is being loved by all and sundry, due to the humility it indicates. Then also Fakrun and Rizqun. Rizqun, sustenance or living hood. In other words, you can call it riches. It's also been loved by all and sundry. No matter how poor one is, if you say, oh, so and so you are enjoying, he will smile. Despite the fact that he knows he is suffering, he likes to be addressed as someone who is rich, someone who is wealthy. This indicates that Rizqun is being loved by all and sundry. Now, juxtapose it with its antonym, Fakrun. Fakrun is being disliked by all and sundry. Fakrun. Now, revisit the first letter, Rizqun. If you study it meticulously, you'll notice that its first consonant has the short vowel sound E beneath the first consonant. Here, it also implies humility. That is why it is being cherished by all and sundry. That is why it has turned out to be a sign of Allah's favor. Now look at the antonym, Fakarun. Its first consonant, Fa, has the short vowel sound A atop. This indicates arrogance. That is why it is being disliked. Also, Shaw says, Siha and Maradun. Siha, health. Maradun, sickness, ailment, disease. No one likes disease. But all and sundry likes health or cure. The first letter of the word that is being liked has the short vowel sound E also underneath. This also indicates humility. That is why it is being liked by all and sundry. That is why health also is a sign of Allah's favor. Then now, study its antonym, Maradun. The first letter of the aforementioned word here, the word which I have just mentioned, Maradun, its first consonant is Mimun. The letter M in the English language, Mimun. Its first vowel here is what? A short vowel sound A atop. That is why it is being hated by all and sundry, because it symbolizes arrogance. Therefore, by juxtaposing the three words Ilm, Mun, Rizqun, Siha with their antonyms Jahalun, Fakarun, and Maradun, one would really appreciate the fact that humility is very significant in life. And its antonym, arrogance, is something that is laden with blemish. Therefore, it should be discarded by those who have embraced it. no matter your status in society, no matter how knowledgeable you are, no matter how rich you are, no matter how powerful you are, if you happen to be pompous, then very soon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will really collect the favor he has assigned to you. Also, if you look at, according to Shehu, if you look at some tree plants, for instance, watermelon and the date palm. Juxtapose the watermelon with the date palm. You'll notice that when the date palm comes out of the soil, it goes vertically upward. That is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enriches it with very tiny fruit compared to watermelon. When watermelon comes out of the soil, it sprays on it, indicating humility. That is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enriches it always with very big fruits compared to those of the date palm. This also symbolizes the importance of humility and the blemish of arrogance. Now,
وقلنا يا آدم اسكن أنت وزوجك الجنة وكلا منها رغدا حيث شئتما ولا تقربا هذه الشجرة فتكونا من الظالمين.
وقلنا يا آدم اسكن أنت وزوجك الجنة وكلا منها رغدا حيث شئت وكلا منها حيث شئت وكلا منها رغدا حيث شئتما ولا تقربا هذه الشجرة فتكونا من الظالمين. Now, Adam has appeared, has emerged as the teacher of the angels. Hence, he has now been chosen as the one who is going to serve on earth as Allah's vicegerent, not the angels. They have agreed to prostrate before him, with the exclusion of the Lucifer. And before I interpret the just recited Quranic verse, I would like to reiterate the fact that the Lucifer has never been of the angels. There was never a time he was part and parcel of them. He was part of the jinn, the jinni. The Quran says, وَإِسْقُلْنَا لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ زِدُوا لِآدَمَا فَسَجَدُوا إِلَّا إِبْلِيسَ كَانَ مِنَ الْجِنِّ كَانَ مِنَ الْجِنِّ. He was part of the jinni, not the angels. He only served together with them when he was one of the intimate servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then Allah now says to Adam, after the angels had bowed to him as a sign of respect, now he would be the one to act as Allah's viceroy on earth. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to him, after he had created a wife for Adam from the left-hand side ribs of his, وَيَسْكُلْنَا يَا آدَمُ
وَقُلْنَا
يَا آدَمُ اسْكُنْ أَنْتَ نَعْمُ
وَقُلْنَا يَا
آدَمُ اسْكُنْ أَنْتَ وَزَوْجُكَ الْجَنَّةِ وَقُلْنَا يَا آدَمُ وَقُلْنَا. And we said Allah here says we, whereas we all know that he is alone, he is one. قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدْ. He is one. But here, as in many places in the Holy Quran, he uses the pronoun we. Why? He does that in order to showcase his greatness. Here the we is not for plurality, it's for greatness. Even in our tradition, The word head says, are you joking with us? The we here signifies greatness, not plurality. The word head is only one. Also, the district head says, don't be stubborn to us. The us here refers to greatness, not plurality. So by saying we here, as in many places in the Holy Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala indicates his greatness, not plurality. He is one. O Adam, uskun anta wa zawjika al-jannata, dwell you and your wife in the paradise. Dwell you and your wife in the garden, the paradise. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that after the angels had bowed to Adam, peace be upon him, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provided for him a place of inhabitation. That is the paradise. And before that, he provided a wife for him. How did he get the wife for him? He used one of the left-hand side ribs of Adam to create the wife. That is why today, medically, if you count the number of ribs of a man, the right-hand side of the body of the person will produce 12 ribs. Conversely, the ribs on his left-hand side will definitely be 11, because the remaining rib was the one Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used to create a wife for Adam, peace be upon him, our ancestral mother, the Eve, Hawa, may the peace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be on her. But if you count the ribs of a lady, both the ribs on her left hand side and those on her right hand side will be 12. Cumulatively, she has 24 ribs, while man has 23 ribs. This is one of the things that medically has been proven to be correct. This indicates that really Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created Eve from the ribs of Adam, peace be upon him. And this also affirms the miracle of the Holy Quran. The Quran has uncountable miracles. So the issue of the creation of Eve from Adam is one of the miracles of the Holy Quran, which has been affirmed by even the conventional medicine. Dwell you and your wife in the paradise. Now.
وَكُلَا مِنْهَا
رَغَدًا حَيْثُ شِئْتُمَا. And both of you eat from the paradise. Ragadan. Freely, abundantly. No hindrance. Eat whatever you want to eat. The entire provisions of this garden is for both of you. Therefore, eat it. Make use of it. Ragadan. Freely. No hindrance. Anytime. Haithu shi'ituma. Haithu shi'ituma. And on the basis of your wishes. Whether you want to take it in the morning or during the afternoon hours or during the night hours. Anytime. No hindrance. The provision is for both of you. Therefore, you can take as many as you can, and you can take it whenever you feel like. Now. وَلَا تَقْرَبَا هَذِهِ الشَّجَرَةَ. But do not come near this tree. After Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to them that they could eat whatever they wanted to eat without hindrance, they could eat it also whenever they felt to eat. He said to them, he pointed to a tree. But do not come near this tree with the intention of eating. So among all the provisions in the paradise at that material time, only one tree was exempted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for Adam and his wife not to go near it, not to eat it. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala refers by saying, وَلَا تَقَرَبَ هَذِي الشَّجَرَةَ. Don't eat it. It is a metaphorical statement. He means, don't eat it. Do not eat it. Don't go near it. This tree which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prohibited for Adam and Eve to eat, according to some Quranic exegetes, was the wheat. Contrarily, some Quranic exegetes said it was the grape, al-inab in Arabic, the grape. Some Quranic exegetes said that it was the apple. But the majority of the Quranic exegetes affirmed that it was the grape. Some said it was the wheat, as I said earlier. Some said it was the apple. Be that as it may, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had prohibited just one tree for Adam in the paradise at that material time. وَلَا تَكَرَبَ هَذِي الشَّجَرَ فَتَكُونَ مِنَ الظَّالِمِينَ. Lest both of you become wrongdoers. If you eat this tree, which I have prohibited for you, definitely I would consider you as transgressors. I would consider you as wrongdoers. Look at what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did. The provisions of the paradise at that material time in its entirety was for the two of them, with the exception of only just one tree. Tree here means its fruits, its produce. Now,
فَأَذَلَّهُمَا الشَّيْطَانُ عَنْهَا فَأَخْرَجَهُمَا مِمَّا كَانَا فِيهِ وَقُلْنَا اهْبِطُوا بَعْضُكُمْ لِبَعْضٍ عَدُوٌّ وَلَكُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ مُسْتَقَرٌّ وَمَتَاعٌ إِلَى حِينٍ.
فَأَذَلَّهُمَا الشَّيْطَانُ عَنْهَا فَأَخْرَجَهُمَا مِمَّا كَانَا فِيهِ وَقُلْنَا اهْبِطُوا بَعْضُكُمْ لِبَعْضٍ عَدُوٌّ وَلَكُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ مُسْتَقَرٌّ وَمَتَاعٌ إِلَى حِينٍ. Prior to the interpretation of the just recited verse of the cow, going by the interpretation of the verse which we have just completed its interpretation, one could deduce some lessons. If you look at the provision of the place of inhabitation, a dwelling place, by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for Adam, it underscores the importance of shelter. This implies that shelter is very important, because immediately Adam emerged victorious, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provided for him what? Shelter. Shelter. This underscores the importance of shelter. Therefore, government at all levels should embark upon a very rigorous exercise with a view to providing shelter for the citizenry. If a citizen doesn't have a shelter, that really encourages them to embark upon the commission of crime, because they will consider their life as useless. They don't have even a place to retire to during the night hours or whenever they feel like. So that is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provided shelter for Adam. To teach us, also to inculcate in us the importance of shelter. Also here the verse implies that food security is very significant. After Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had provided a dwelling place for Adam and his wife, He equally provided sustenance for them. This indicates the importance of food security. Therefore, government at all levels should do all that they can with a view to providing food for the citizenry. A hungry person can do anything, because hunger is a sort of madness. If one is hungry, they can commit any sort of crime. They can kill, they can maim, they can set places ablaze. Due to what? Due to lack of sustenance. That is why here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَكُلَا مِنْهَا رَغَدًا حَيْسُ شِئْتُمَا. Eat from it freely, without hindrance, and on the basis of your wish. This underscores the importance of the sufficiency of food in any country one can think of. That is why you'll notice that in the developed world, virtually everyone is more powerful than food. Food is not their problem. It's not their problem. It is only in the developing countries and countries that are underdeveloped that food is a serious problem. Now, فَأَزَلَّهُمَا الشَّيْطَانُ أَنْهَا فَأَزَلَّهُمَا الشَّيْطَانُ أَنْهَا. Subsequently, the Lucifer, Satan, made them sleep therefrom. Made them sleep from the paradise. He made them to get removed from the paradise. وَأَكَرَجَهُمَا مِمَّا كَانَا فِيهِ. And he got them out from which they were in. The favors they were enjoying without hindrance, consequent upon their being driven away from the paradise, they lost it. وَأَكَرَجَهُمَا مِمَّا كَانَا فِيهِ. Now, وَقُلْنَا هَبِدُوا مِنْهَا جَمِيعًا. And we said to them, get down all with mutual enmity. Now even the shelter, he made them to lose it.
بَعْدُكُمْ لِبَعْدٍ عَدُوٌ.
بَعْدُكُمْ لِبَعْدٍ عَدُوٌ, with mutual enmity. Your offspring will be enemies to themselves. This is one of the interpretations of the segment of the verse. Then another thing which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala implies here is that the animal that assisted Satan into getting into the paradise, Adam, his wife, and the Satan, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here tells us that he asked all of them to get out of the paradise as enemies. Because what happened was that when the Lucifer refused to bow to Adam as a sign of respect, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala drove him out of the paradise. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala banished him from the paradise to a place called Ayla in the present Jordan. That was where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took the Lucifer after he had driven him away from the paradise. After he had compelled him to leave the paradise, he got a place for him in Ayla. Ayla presently is an integral part of the present Jordan. So one day he went to the gate of the paradise after he had been driven away from it, as I said earlier. He wanted to enter into the paradise, but he couldn't. So he screamed. He kept on screaming and shouting until he drew the attention of a snake that was inhabiting the paradise. It was a very beautiful snake. It was four-legged snake. It had four legs. It was exceptionally gorgeous. So he succeeded in drawing the attention of that snake. So the snake came to the gate of paradise. On seeing it, the Lucifer said to it that he was there with a view to entering into the paradise so that he could pass a piece of advice to Adam. He had a piece of advice which he wanted to deliver, which he wanted to offer to Adam. Therefore, help me by allowing me to enter your mouth so that you could transport me into the paradise. You could convey me also into the paradise without the angels seeing me. On hearing that, the snake opened its mouth and the Lucifer entered it. That is why even today there is a very cordial relationship between snake and Satan, and the jinn and the Lucifer, even contemporarily. So the snake took Adam into the paradise. When he got into the paradise, he went straight to where Adam and his wife were living. But at that material time, Adam was not around. He met only Hawa. May the peace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continue to be on her. So he met her. He said to her that he was there to deliver a message of advice. He was there to deliver an advisory message from him. He was there to advise her and her husband that the tree which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had prohibited them from eating it was the tree of eternity. He said to her, if you and your husband eat these tree, definitely you are going to live everlastingly in this paradise. But if you fail to eat it, one day Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would ask you to vacate the paradise. On hearing that she plucked three fruits from the fruits of the tree. She ate one immediately and kept one for the husband, and the other one she reserved it for herself so that she could later eat it again. So all of a sudden Adam came back. When he came back, she narrated the story to him that this tree which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had prohibited for us, it's a tree of eternity. If we eat it, definitely we are going to remain here forever. But if we don't eat it, there must be a day Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would ask us to vacate this paradise. So immediately he had that, he collected the fruit and ate. Immediately both of them became naked. They became naked. So that is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here says, فَأَزَلَّهُمَا الشَّيْطَانُ عَنْهَا فَأَخْرَجَهُمَا مِمَّا كَانَا فِي. That was how Satan was able to convince them to go contrary to the instruction of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that their deed led them to be asked to leave the paradise by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we said, get down all with mutual enmity. So here, on the basis of what I have said, the interpretation will be now as follows. We ask all of them to leave the paradise as enemies, as mutual enemies. Because Adam, on realizing his mistake, also Eve, may Allah be pleased with both of them, on realizing her mistake, they became enemies to Satan. Satan had already become an enemy to both of them, because it was due to his inability wittingly to bow to Adam that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala compelled him to leave the paradise. Now the snake that helped the Lucifer into the paradise also became an enemy to Satan. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala now compelled them to leave the paradise. But the first interpretation has been chosen by the majority of the Quranic exegetes as the actual meaning of this interpretation of the portion of this verse. In other words, the majority of the Quranic exegetes are of the view that ba'dukum li ba'din adu, get out of this paradise. وَقُلْنَا فَأَزَلَّهُمَا الشَّيْطَانُ عَنْهَا فَأَكْرَجَهُمَا مِمَّا كَانَا فِيهِ وَقُلْنَا هَبِطُوا بَعْدُكُمْ لِبَعْدٍ عَدُوٌّ وَقُلْنَا هَبِطُوا. And we said to them, get down all with mutual enmity. The mutual enmity that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala refers here is the mutual enmity among the Lucifer, the snake, Adam and Eve. But the majority, as I said earlier, say no, is the enmity among the offspring of Adam and Eve. That is why even today, for that to be buttressed up, you'll notice that there are clashes across the world among the children of Adam. Farmer had a clash. The farmers are children of Adam. The farmers are children of Adam. In the same vein, the herders. Clashes among political groups. All of them are children of Adam. But they fight due to enmity. Clashes among rival cult groups. They are also children of Adam, but in spite of that, they kill themselves. They kill themselves. They kill themselves. So this indicates that really the clashes that are currently going on across the globe due to enmity among humankind is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had decreed to happen. Now,
وَلَكُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ مُسْتَقَرٌّ وَمَتَاعٌ إِلَى حِينٍ.
وَلَكُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ مُسْتَقَرٌّ. وَلَكُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ مُسْتَقَرٌّ. And for you is a dwelling place on the earth. I will not leave you just like that. Despite the fact that I have driven you away from the paradise, I will still get a place for you. You would have a dwelling place on earth. Naam.
وَمَتَاءٌ
إِلَاهِينَ. And also an enjoyment for a stipulated time. In your new place of abode, you would get enjoyment for a stipulated period of time. That means for your life span. I will leave you to enjoy on the basis of your decreed lifespan. That is why you notice that today one is in the midst of enjoyment, all of a sudden they will pass away, because they have really completed their lifespan. And the enjoyment, by virtue of the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is meant for only a stipulated period. That is meant only for the lifespan of each beneficiary. Now, فتلقى آدم من ربه كلمات فتاب عليه إنه هو التواب الرحيم. Afterwards, Adam received some words from his Lord. He sought Allah's forgiveness, and eventually Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepted to forgive him. And when he accepted to forgive him, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed some words to Adam, which he could utter with a view to securing Allah's forgiveness. Qala rabbana zalamna anfusana wa illam takfir lana wa tarhamna lanakunanna minal khasirin. Qala, both of them said, Adam and his wife Eve, Hawa, peace be upon them, Rabbana, O our Lord, zalamna anfusana, we have really cheated ourselves. Wailam takfir lana, if you have not forgiven us, wa tarhamna, if you have not also decided to be merciful to us, if you are not merciful to us, lanakunanna minal qasirin, definitely we are going to be among the losers. So when Adam said this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepted his forgiveness. Allah forgave him all that he did, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And actually, it wasn't a crime he committed, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had decreed for him to serve on the earth as Allah's vicegerent. Had he remained in the paradise, how could he serve as someone who would be expressing and exercising some delegated powers on behalf of Allah? That is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala privately instructed him to eat the tree, so that that could be used as an excuse for him to get out of the paradise with a view to serving the purpose of his creation. That is being Allah's viceroy on earth. But evidently, he committed an error. Evidently. But privately, and in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he did not commit an offense. He did that on the basis of Allah's instruction. Because the messengers of Allah never offended him. Even the Prophet, peace be upon them, never for once offended Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whatever they did, which we consider presently as an offense or as offenses that were committed by them, in the sight of Allah, were not offenses, because they were conducted by them on the basis of the instructions they received from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, fataba alayhi, consequently Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgave him. Now,
innahu huwa at-tawwabur rahim.
Innahu, verily Allah, huwa at-tawwab, is the oft forgiven, Ar-Rahim, oft merciful. Allah cannot be created with anyone in terms of forgiveness and mercy. He is the solitary oft forgiven, and also the solitary oft merciful. Allah forgave him the apparent transgression he committed. Naam.
وَلْنَعْفِذُوا جَمِيعًا وَإِمَّا يَأْتِيَنَّكُمْ مِنِّي وَدًا فَمَنْ تَبِعَ هُدَايَ فَلَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا هُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ
وَلْنَعْفِذُوا مِنْهَا جَمِيعًا فَإِمَّا يَأْتِيَنَّكُمْ مِنِّي هُدًى فَمَنْ تَبِعَ هُدَايَ فَلَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا هُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ نعم
وَلْنَعْفِذُوا مِنْهَا جَمِيعًا
الله says قُلْنَا we said to them Ibidu min hajami and get down all of you from the paradise. Here Allah refers to Adam, his wife Hawa, the Satan at that material time because he entered again, as we said earlier, and also the snake. Ibidu min hajami and get out of the paradise, all of you. Ibidu min hajami and Alhamdulillah. This is where we are going to have a pause today in relation to the English Quranic exegesis, which always comes to you on the Barakatuh Family radio station, courtesy of its chief executive officer, the ordinary president, Malam Ahmad Isa, in memory of his father, Malam Isa Muhammad. May his gentle soul continue to rest in absolute peace. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين إهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين آمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين وآله الطيبين الطاهرين وصحبه جميعا حق قدره ومقداره العظيم سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون السلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين